Today, we continue our series titled, This We Believe. And I started thinking about the introduction for today's topic, and I had a story I wanted to tell you. It would have made a good introduction, but I decided not to use it because it bordered on a joke. And I just don't believe we need to tell jokes from the pulpit. But maybe someday in the fellowship hall, I'll share it with you. You've heard a lot of jokes about the devil, about Satan, about how he works and who he works through. And I'm interested today in this whole theme of the great controversy theme because that's what makes religion so real to me personally. I believe in my travels I have met the Son of God. Of the places I've been, thank God I've seen Calvary. But the opposite is also true. I know there's a power that's evil, that it's real, it's not just a product of words and of someone's imagination. Satan and the devil and Lucifer are just as real in power as that we believe is found in Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, and as a church, and as a denomination, we believe in the authority of Scriptures that tells us there was a time when this being that we call Satan was next to God in heaven. He was the covering cherub, the Bible tells us. And the unexplainable happened. He became filled with pride and looked at his own position and felt at ease somehow. And there in the courts of heaven, of all places that we would least expect it to happen, he began to go among the angels and he talked in secret and he sowed discord and he began to tell the other angels, you know, God's really not fair. God let it run its course, as God always does. Like sin in our own life, God could, if He chose, He could just zap it out of us. He could make you a robot in which you automatically keep the Sabbath and you automatically choose to do what's right. But He allows us free choice. And He allowed Satan free choice. The other angels in heaven, He allowed them to choose. And as the Scripture explains to us, eventually it became so bad, something had to be done. Turn with me in Revelation, and let me tell you what the Bible says right here in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And war broke out in heaven." This is all a result of the sin of Satan. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels fought. But they could not win. They did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Revelation 12:9 says, "So the great dragon was cast out." And just to be sure that we don't misidentify this, he says, that great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. There's a lot of information right there of the origin of Satan on the earth. It started with a conflict in his own heart. And I've got the Scriptures here to read today. Where Satan said, "I want to be like God. I want to be like the Most High. I want to ascend into the seats of the Most High." The power of Satan is so real. Scripture gives him also the title of being the highest achiever in deceiving people. There's no greater being that can deceive people like Satan deceives them. He's been at war with God's people ever since the reading that you just saw there in Revelation 12. Satan hates the things of God. He despises obedience. It upsets him terribly for someone to make a choice to become a Christian, to live as Jesus wants them to live. Because Satan's highest joy is to see people hurt and suffer. Be brokenhearted. He revels in the things that bring pain and suffering. Whereas on the other side, Jesus' greatest joy is to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal those who are hurting. But in the theme of the great controversy, that's exactly what it is. It's a conflict between good and evil. It's a conflict between Christ and Satan. It doesn't involve all the other places that may be inhabited. It involves our earth. It involves the story of God Himself in the form of Jesus coming and dying for humanity in order that anyone who believed might be saved. And Satan is against that. He is against the movement of God upon the earth. And as Revelation so very richly tells us, before Christ was born, Satan was already working. He had stirred up in the minds of people an interpretation of Scripture that was not correct. So when Jesus did come as a child, their minds were so warped with falsehood and untruth, the majority of people didn't even adopt Him. They didn't recognize Him as this chosen Messiah. Satan went a step further. Through false theology and deception, he had also taught that in the adult life of the Messiah, one of the great things to be accomplished would be the rising of the nation of Israel and that the Romans would be conquered. Therefore, when Jesus began to teach, you know, my kingdom is not of this world, but my kingdom is within you. Even though Jesus did all the miracles of healing the blind and giving hearing back to the deaf and even raising the dead, all of the miracles somehow did not measure up to the deception that Satan had planted. Those seeds of discord and falsehood seemed to be so much stronger than the goodness of Jesus in humanity. Now you go home and figure that one out and tell me how that works. He's a master enemy at all that Jesus upholds. So, in the story of Revelation, he not only fought at the birth of Christ, he fought in the ministry of Christ. And then for the very people that Jesus came and died for. Even after Satan had lost the battle with Christ, and on early Sunday morning Jesus came forth from the tomb, even though Satan was defeated, he doesn't stop. He keeps on and on and on. And Revelation, yes, teaches us that even after Christ ascended and went back into heaven, he didn't have Jesus on earth to be mean to any longer. He now turns his attention to the church, to the people of God. And so every major truth of Scripture, and you've heard me talk about this before, every major truth of Scripture that Jesus and the disciples taught, Satan figured out a false teaching. Every one of them, and I can prove it. So, for thousands of years after Jesus died and went back to heaven, this master deceiver now is working in religion to try to keep people from from understanding the truth as it is found in Scripture. And he does a good job, because along the way, somewhere over 55 million people were killed because of their faith. They did not all believe in the Sabbath. They did not all believe in that the earthly priesthood was destroyed. But there was always a remnant of people who had preserved truth. And God, in His providence, never allowed for the truth to be totally abolished. God, in His providence, has allowed Satan to work. This is the theme of the great controversy between good and evil. I know some things happen because of natural law. But evil is not natural law. Would you say amen to that? Evil is not an invention of God Almighty. Evil is the invention of Satan, amplified in the lives of his angels and in the lives of people like us. You know that it's real. Our jails are full of violent criminals. I'm not just talking about somebody who gets caught for drunk driving, or somebody who doesn't pay child support, or somebody who writes a bad check. I'm talking about people who don't even seem to have a conscience. They would just as soon kill the people who provide them food and shelter as they had to take in a breath of air. They have no conscience. The world is filled, and I use the word filled judiciously today because it's the truth. The world is filled with the influence of Satan. Evil cannot continue going this way forever. Mrs. Pella mentioned in her prayer about how that people are getting more sick than ever and getting infections that require all kind of high-powered medication. And it's true. Evil is not going away. Satan is intensifying his efforts against the people of God. Well, let's read a little bit today. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah. I want you to turn over here to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. He says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." Now, we could preach on that text a long time. Here, Lucifer was one of the crown jewels in the heavenly throne room. He had it made, Lucille. Nothing that God had spared away from Lucifer. He had everything given to him. His life could have been perfect. And he threw it away. "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north.'" That doesn't mean much to us today, but for the people living back then, this was the very highest place that he could have gone. Verse 14. Lucifer had thought in his mind, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be in control. I want to be God. I will be like the Most High." No Bible commentator explains how that happened. Sin does not have a reasonable explanation. I was talking to someone just this week about the effects of meth on a person's life. And how that something in the brain is chemically changed. Maybe even worse than alcohol or gambling or some other things that plague humanity. It's like when that balance gets off in the brain, nothing is more important than just getting that next high on the drugs. You can threaten to take away children. You can threaten to take away a house. You can threaten to take away the car. You can have divorce. You can have all kinds of things. But nothing is as powerful as that draw to get on that high again. Unexplainable. But every one of us in this auditorium knows somebody like that. Sin is the same. It started out, Lucifer was a good angel. He was in obedience for God. I don't know how many years, I don't know how many thousands of years, or even if there were thousands. All I know is that he willfully chose to go against the plan of God in his life. And because of it, millions and millions have been suffered and hurt because of it. In a much smaller way, the same ripple effect works for you. When we were studying about the Holy Spirit, I believe it was the Holy Spirit, I spoke how that for each person who makes a decision for God, that decision is like a ripple effect. It's positive, it's powerful for many people. But the opposite is true as well for evil. When we choose to do evil, it influences our spouse, it influences our children, it influences brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and mother and daddy and a host of co-workers. The circle just keeps getting wider and wider. You have the responsibility of choosing between right and wrong, good and evil, between Christ and between Satan. He allows you to choose. And you know what I want you to choose. I want you to choose to do what's right. Turn with me to Ezekiel, if you will. Some of you have studied Ezekiel very closely, and you've studied this prophecy here, first written to the king of Tyre, but applied to Satan himself. Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning with verse 12. Ezekiel 28, 12. Thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, referencing the devil now. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, that's not so bad so far, is it? That sounds pretty good. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to be more beautiful than I am now. I mean, I can just imagine what God has in store for me. I want to be a little bit taller. Back a little straighter. I want to have all of this. And I'm going to stop here. But wouldn't it... Yeah, I'm dreaming. But wouldn't it be nice to be perfect in two things? Not only good looking, but also smart. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13, you were in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Talk about singing. He was not only sharp and good looking, but this angel could sing. It says, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub that covers. God says, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all of your ways from the day you were created, comma. I don't like this, but it's true. Until what? Until iniquity. What is that? Until iniquity, unrighteousness, sinfulness, pride, so forth. You were perfect until iniquity was found in you. Now, verse 17 gives us just a little glimpse into the historical background. He says that your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. He was made proud. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of splendor. Sin never goes in the positive direction. In this whole theme of the great controversy, as Scripture tells us that sin will run its course, for all of those who choose to be on Satan's side and remain on Satan's side, doing evil and practicing sin, their future is the same as Satan's future. Whereas those who choose the Lord's side to be a soldier in His army, to stand for the right no matter what, their future becomes the same as God's future. And humanity today is caught in this big decision process of choosing whose side they will be on for all eternity. You know what happens to Satan in the end? Ezekiel 28 tells us right here that a fire shall come forth from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And you shall be ashes in the sight of all those who behold thee. That's the future of the evil people and of Satan. They die the second death, which not only is eternal separation from God, but it's eternal destruction. Whereas God's people, they have the privilege of claiming life immortal with God, with all the rewards that come that Satan once had. Everything Satan used to have. See, when he was created, God made him to live forever. He was beautiful. He was smart. He worshiped God out of his heart. But everything that he had, guess who gets it? You do. It was a gift in the beginning. He never would have had it had God as creator not given it to him. And the angels being a whole different order of beings, it truly was a gift. And for us, the gift of eternal life needs to be spoken of more often We need to thank Him for it. You don't have to spend a day with Satan. You don't have to spend an hour with Satan. Now, if you go where he is, you will be in his company. If you go around people who have him in their heart, some of that just might rub off on you. If you choose to go where he tempts you, you just might lose. But if you will make the right choice this day to be a soldier for Christ, I promise God will give you every blessing that was destroyed and taken away in the beginning. Let me read a paragraph with you as we close. It says, all humanity is now involved in a great controversy between Christ and Satan regarding the character of God, regarding His law and His sovereignty over the universe. You see that in the world that we live in. This conflict originated in heaven when a created being, endowed with freedom of choice, in self-exaltation became Satan, God's adversary, and led into rebellion a portion of the angels. He introduced the spirit of rebellion into this world when he led Adam and Eve into sin. This human sin resulted in the distortion of the image of God in humanity, the disordering of the created world, and its eventual devastation at the time of the worldwide flood. Observed by the whole creation, this world became the arena of the universal conflict, out of which the love of God will ultimately be vindicated. And to assist His people in this great controversy, Christ sends the Holy Spirit and the loyal angels to guide, protect, and sustain them in the way of salvation. That's what God wants for us this day. Loving Father, today each one of us realizes the power of Satan is very real. I'm not so sure that any of us fully comprehend how great our individual role is in the great controversy plan. But I would pray today that you would give us the ability to march with God's people, to say no to Satan, to say yes to Jesus, and that this coming week would find us praying and reading and with a song in our heart, thanking you for the gift, praising your name that you won the victory over Satan. Give us a desire to know what it is to believe that the gift of eternity is ours because you've defeated Satan. Let us have the joy of being perfect, of beautiful, of being filled with wisdom, of walking with you in the streets of the New Jerusalem is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.